So now, please turn with me in your copies of God's Word to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19, we'll be looking this morning at verses 1 through 12. And if you're using your Pew Bible, you can find this on page 1047. So hear now the Word of God, Matthew chapter 19, verses 1 to 12. And now when Jesus had finished these sayings, he went away from Galilee and entered the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. Large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. And Pharisees came to him and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause?" He answered, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." They said to him, "Why then did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and to send her away?" He said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives. From the beginning, it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery." The disciples said to him, "If such is the case of a man with his wife, it is better not to marry." But he said to them, "Not everyone can receive this saying, but only those to whom it is given. For there are eunuchs who have been so from birth, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. But the one who is able to receive it, receive this, receive it." Let us once again bow and seek the Lord's blessing. Our gracious Father, Lord, we do thank you for your word. And as we come before this passage in Matthew, we pray that you would guide our hearts and our minds this morning. May you, by your Spirit, inscribe your truth upon our innermost being. And Lord, we do pray that you would be with my mind and my mouth, that you would clear them my mind of distraction, and that I'd be able to think and speak your truth clearly this morning. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Well, as we look at this passage this morning, this is not the first time that Jesus has addressed the issue of marriage and divorce. We'll be looking at this morning, this issue, but as we've already addressed it, I just invite you to go to our website or sermon audio and look up Matthew 5, verses 31 to 32, if you want to hear a further kind of treatise or preaching or exposition of the issue of marriage and divorce. We'll be dealing this morning with kind of the differences between the two texts and kind of the expanded nature of this text compared to Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 to 32. But as we also begin this morning, I want to mention that and remind us that the Christian life is not an easy life. There are lots of trials and tribulations of various kinds that we face. And all of these are circumstances that God himself has guided us in and ordained in our life. They all have their purpose. We may not know their purpose as we are going through them, as we are in the midst, in the heat of them. But yet, every trial, every tribulation, every difficult circumstance has been ordained by him and is used for our good and our edification. And that is a reminder that we're actually going to be looking at out of these verses this morning. It's to know that God gives you the grace to deal with difficult circumstances that he has ordained. But know that God gives you the grace to deal with difficult circumstances that He has ordained. And we'll be breaking this passage and looking at it in just two portions. First of all, God calls us to be faithful to our covenants in verses 1 to 9. And secondly, God's grace is sufficient in every situation in verses 10 to 12. So first of all, the first point, verses 1 through 9, God calls us to be faithful to our covenants. As I mentioned in the introduction, this isn't the first time that Jesus has taught on the subject of marriage and divorce. So again, just for a fuller exposition of that, I direct you to our website to listen to the Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 to 32 sermon entitled Be Faithful to Your Covenant. But to set the background, I want to give a brief recap of that message, and then also point out some differences that Jesus addresses here. So first of all, as we come to the issue before us and this question that is asked by the Pharisees in order to test Jesus and to bring him down in his teaching, to trip him up and to find some charge against him, they ask again this question about, is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any reason? Was their question. Does there have to be any reason at all? Can we just divorce our wives? And so as Jesus responds, they ask in turn, well, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce? Now, for this command, I want to draw you back to the Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy. This, the Pharisees are referencing here is in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 1 through 4. Here we read, when a man takes a wife and marries her, if then she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some indecency in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, and she departs out of his house, and if she goes and becomes another man's wife, and the later man hates her, and writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, or if the later man dies, who took her to be his wife, then her former husband, who sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife after she has been defiled, for that is an abomination before the Lord. You shall not bring sin upon the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance. Now, the question that the Pharisees bring is around the phrase some indecency that we see in the opening verses of this text. There are two camps, camp of Shammai and camp of Hillel. Camp of Shammai said that that indecency is in line with what Jesus is saying, that it's purely a sexual immorality that is discovered and found. On the other hand, the camp of Hillel said, well, no, some indecency means anything. If your wife is cooking dinner and she burns your food, that's enough reason right there. So that's the two camps that the Pharisees are asking this question. So their question comes at it, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all? And Jesus confronts them, and as they come to this question of, well, why did Moses then command it? And Jesus' response is, Moses allowed it because of your hardness of heart. But this is not the way it was supposed to be. What does Jesus mean? Well, if you look back at this text that I read in Deuteronomy chapter 24, here's the context that Moses is writing into and God is speaking to. It's a man has taken a wife, and for whatever reasons, whether it's sexual immorality or something else, he writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, and he goes through this list. That's what they're taking as a command, that Moses is saying, well, that's what should be done. That's not what Moses says at all. What Moses is doing is he is describing a hypothetical situation. He's saying, if one of you marries, and if this happens, and if this happens, and if this happens, and then at the end of the text, he gets to the actual command, and he says, the command is, well, the original husband is not to take back the wife. or the wife is not to go back to the original husband. And why? Well, because he has hated her, in Moses' language, but also the covenant that had been established and made was torn apart and broken for no substantial reason at all. So Moses was not commanding that men write certificate of divorces at all. It was simply an acknowledgement that this will happen. So in this hypothetical situation, here's what you do. And that's what Jesus confronts the Pharisees with. It was your hardness of heart that Moses allowed you to divorce your wives. Now in Jesus' answer, he points out a couple things about marriage that we need to keep in mind, and it's helpful for us in our day and age to remind us of. And in God's view of marriage, here Jesus answers in verse 4, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So you're no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." First thing we need to be reminded of with the idea of marriage is that it's a creation ordinance. And what we mean by this is that it was something that God created and instituted in the garden in perfection before the fall. It's not as a result of the fall, which it seems that our culture likes to view it as, why would you get married? You know, that's going to put a drag on your whole life. You don't want to do that. Live it up a little bit. No, marriage is a creation ordinance. It's the way it was supposed to be. And sin has corrupted it. Secondly, Jesus points out in Genesis when it says that, you know, a man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. In that sentence, in that verse, what is being pointed out here, and Jesus is referring to, is that in the marriage bond, in the marriage covenant, it is the closest human relationship that we could possibly have. And it's not just because of the physical intimacy that God has provided within that relationship, which is the closest expression of physical closeness that we could get. But it's also the emotional intimacy that is there. It's the spiritual intimacy that is there. It is that union of husband and wife. It is the closest and the most basic and the most important building block of any society. The most important relationship. And it's a picture that God has given us of, you know, the types and shadows that we've talked about. You know, Christ, everything that the temple was everything that was prescribed for the temple and ordered for it, and the sacrifices and the various ordinances, were all pointing towards the great culmination in Jesus Christ. And a part of that, what we call typology, is marriage itself. That the union between a man and a woman, and husband and wife, is fulfilled ultimately in that great and glorious day to come when Christ returns, and the union between Christ and his bride is finally complete and fulfilled. It's a type and a picture for us here on earth of the relationship between God and his people. It's not to be a relationship between God and God himself, or his people and his people himself, but God and his people. And that is why he has given us this marriage. And that's why he says the two become one flesh. The closeness and the intimacy that husbands and wives have is a picture and a type for us of what is to come in the in what we are experiencing in part now of the union that we have with Jesus Christ. So with this in view, in the opinion here, in the misinterpretation of Moses' ordinance there, of God's command in Deuteronomy, and thinking of our own culture and our view of marriage and how kind of flippantly we take it, you know, can you imagine as it is a picture of our relationship with Christ, if God was as flippant as we are as a culture about our marriages. If he just decided one day, well, I've fallen out of love with you, so goodbye, people. No, God is faithful to the covenant that he has made. Regardless of how unfaithful we are, God is faithful. And he calls us to be faithful to our covenants as well. And that is what Jesus is pointing out. Well, this brings us to then our second point. You know, God has called us to his covenants, or to be faithful to the covenants that we have made, as this was what he created, what he gave us, a picture of our relationship to him. Well, secondly, as we consider verses 10 through 12, I want to look at the point that God's grace is sufficient in every situation. Well, as we begin these verses, verse 10 is, you know, probably one of the most surprising and arguably strangest responses to the situation that you could expect. The disciples cry out after hearing Jesus' answer, "If such is the case of a man with his wife, it is better not to marry." Like, why bother, Jesus? If I'm stuck with this person for the rest of my life, why even bother getting married to them? Well, Jesus responds by saying, not everyone can receive this saying. Now, this saying that Jesus is referencing here is not what we've just looked at in verses 1 through 9. This saying that he's referring to here is what's immediately before, and that's the statement of the disciples themselves. When they say, it's better just not even to marry. He says, well, not everyone can accept this. And so then he gives, you know, what can only be described as really a sermon illustration of his teaching here. He says to them, not everyone can receive this saying, but only those to whom it is given. And then he begins talking about eunuchs. And he says, for there are eunuchs who have been so from birth, and there are eunuchs who have been made so, or been made eunuchs by men. There are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Let the one who is able to receive this receive it. So as we begin to look at these verses, I want to point out just something about eunuchs. Basically, a eunuch would be someone that was incapable in this day and age of a marriage relationship. You know, we just read in the account of Acts of Philip meeting the Ethiopian eunuch. Eunuchs were males who were castrated, unable to reproduce. And they were typically given the oversight of, you know, the women's quarters in a royal palace, a situation in a kingdom. Now, you have this situation where there would be a man who's just incapable of, in his day and age, would not be desired for marriage because there's no progeny or family hoped for. There's no way it could be done. And so you have, as Jesus uses the term eunuch here, it's in relation to someone who is incapable either by birth or actions being done to them, or maybe a vow that they've taken, where no action was actually taken against them physically, but they've taken a vow to behave as one, where they would not be a part of this marriage relationship, this picture and this type of our relationship to Christ. The reason why I want to emphasize this is because Jesus is not addressing single adults here. This is a specific group of people who would not be capable of entering into the marriage relationship in his day and age. This is not to be interpreted as simply single people. But how can we apply what Jesus says here about eunuchs to our life? Well, as we look at these verses, if you consider how Jesus gives this illustration of eunuchs and how it applies to the situation, the teaching here of marriage and divorce and relationship between husbands and wives, you know, as Jesus talks about this and gives this description of eunuchs, those who have been so from birth, because there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom. Now, as Jesus says, not everyone can receive this saying. So this is a minority group of people. And as we consider this, you know, it's pretty clear that this would not be an easy way of life. This would be hard. This would be difficult. Especially in, you know, the first century. This would be a hard situation. Not easy at all. Not everyone can receive this saying, this declaration that it's better not to marry. Now, these hard situations, these difficult situations are really threefold. There's eunuchs, first of all, who have been so from birth. As we take this teaching and we apply it to our own lives, there are situations and times where people are born into very difficult circumstances. Whether it's a particular family that they're born into, whether it's a condition that they're born with, there are difficult circumstances that some people are born into. There are also difficult circumstances that are forced upon us by those outside, by other people. There are eunuchs who have been so from birth, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by men. We think of our brothers and sisters throughout the world who suffer for their faith in Christ. They are being persecuted physically because they have confessed and professed the name of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They're hard and difficult situations. In the third situation, there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. This has been someone who, under normal circumstances, would have been able to enter into that marriage relationship and have a family. But by the clear leading of the Lord, and that should be emphasized, by the clear leading of God, they entered into a vow. They took a vow of being a eunuch, not entering into a marriage relationship for the sake of the kingdom of God. Just because someone would enter into the situation willingly does not make it an easy situation for them. They would still each day have to deal with the normal temptations and desires that everyone else would have to deal with. So they've entered into this vow willingly, but it's still a very difficult and hard situation. Now, as we consider how we apply this teaching to our lives, these are not easy situations, they're difficult. But as Jesus says, not everyone can receive this saying, but only those to whom it is given. Now, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 11, and Jesus explains why he's teaching in parables. He uses very similar language, and he says to his disciples, "To you, it has been given to understand." This idea of "it has been given" carries with it the clear grace of God in a person's life. The only way the disciples could understand was through the grace of God given to them, through the working of the Holy Spirit as Christ explained it to them and taught them clearly. The only way that we can understand is because it has been given to us by God. Through the grace given to us, through the Holy Spirit's work in our life, softening our hearts, removing our hearts of stone, giving us a heart of flesh, so that we may see and understand and hear the truth of the gospel. Now, as we consider difficult circumstances that sometimes people are born into, hard trials that sometimes come upon us from the outside that others have done to us, and then also maybe situations where, okay, there's a difficult thing, but God has made it clear that this is my road, this is my path. And I've made a commitment to Him. In these difficult and trying situations, God gives us the grace to go through them. He gives us the grace to go through what he brings into our life that is difficult and hard to understand. Whatever difficult situations, brothers and sisters, that we find ourselves in, God will give us the grace that we need to endure those trials. He will carry us through the end. He may never tell us why such a situation came, why such a difficulty, but he will bring us to the other side by his grace. So as we consider this passage before us, as Jesus teaches upon the divorce and marriage, expanding upon what he has already taught, calling us again to be faithful to our covenants, that how God ordained it, how God established it. Not being hard of heart, but being faithful to the covenants that he has given to us. He then also reminds us, as he teaches us, that in the difficult situations that he has called us to and called us in, that he'll faithfully and lovingly give us the grace that is necessary to endure those trials and tribulations. And so, brothers and sisters, just be reminded and let us know that regardless of the difficult circumstances that each and every one of us are in various ways, just know that God gives us the grace to deal with those circumstances that he has ordained for us. Amen. Our gracious Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the reminder of this passage. It was not an easy thing to be a eunuch, as you profess in this text. As the disciples respond to your teaching on maintaining our covenants of marriage, they cry out, "Is better not to marry?" You, Lord, say that that is not easy for everyone to hear or to receive. And only those to whom it has been given. Lord, in that we see that being a eunuch in that day, and in any day really, is a difficult situation. And as we apply this truth to our life, Lord, we know that there are various difficult circumstances that come throughout our lives. There are some people here dealing with things from birth. There are brothers and sisters here who are dealing with things from the outside. There are brothers and sisters here who are dealing with difficult trials because of vows that they've taken. But Lord, we know that you uphold us by your mighty right hand. That we can and will endure all these trials that you have ordained for us because of the grace that you have given to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray you would freely pour out your grace and strength upon us. Amen.